Welcome to Directions Media's Hallway Conversations, an interview series with geospatial insiders and outsiders. This is Adina Schutzberg. My hallway conversation with Stefan Knecht, the CIO of United Maps, was recorded on October 6, 2009 at the Location Intelligence Conference in Westminster, Colorado.
I'm here today with Stefan Knecht, the CIO from United Maps from Germany, and he's also the co-founder.
Yes.
We want to talk a little bit about what's going on, not so much in the United States, but maybe what's going on in the rest of the world in comparison to what's going on in the United States in GIS.
And speak a little bit about what's going on in Germany and the countries around, and Europe maybe. The point that I want to make is that, first of all, this perfect conference is extremely US-centric, which is natural, which is a matter of fact. But it somehow neglects that there's a couple of interesting things going on around the States.
Okay.
In Europe, there's a situation that the data that the taxpayer has been paid for already is said to be free. Not free in the sense of no money being paid for, but well, data being made available. Europe is a set of many countries with many different legislations, with many different rules and language barriers and cultures and all that. So whenever you travel not more than 200 miles, there's a completely different thing around. And this really makes a difference because from a European perspective, you're rightfully used to having dozens, hundreds of different formats, legislatures, and thousands of people to talk to if you just want to acquire a data set covering a country. And as we've done that, and as we are approaching to mapping other countries, there's quite a couple of interesting collateral efforts or notable pieces of information coming up. First of all, we are trying to understand how the United States county councils or city governments are trying to handle their own data sets. And they're sitting on top of a mountain of data, obviously.
Yep.
But most of this data isn't connected.
Yep.
And the problem that they face from our perspective is how to make sense of that repositories and how to sort of conflate and merge that data into a single useful data set. And useful meaning that, first of all, citizens can use the data. Secondly, 9/11 dispatchers can use the data to send forces directly to the spot and not in the direction of what could have happened. From a governmental or state's perspective, first of all, you need to have access to the data, which is the first and most tedious problem. And secondly, you need to conflate it in a certain way to make sure that the data can be used, ultimately. In Europe, there's an initiative called INSPIRE, which tries to do exactly the same, and the situation is not really different.
Actually, the situation in Europe is far more complicated, I think.
Far more complicated because those national mapping agencies, for example, there is no standard rule or pricing scheme or whatever. So we're talking to all of those European national mapping agencies to get their data, and we're willing to pay for that. And I'd say in two-thirds of those cases, they don't have the slightest idea what to charge for and how to make use of it. The market, if it is a market, is in a very, very early stage, and to develop the market means to talk to all of those individual players, persons, nationalities. And again, this is quite similar to the US, because if you want to do good with a conflation technology that could be able to merge the data sets into a single layer, you also have to speak to the GIS department, to the mayor, or probably to whatever state or governmental agency. So it is a similar situation, but on a completely different scale. And then there's something funny coming up, because OpenStreetMap does a great job in collecting a lot of data. Well, this is good data for the most of it, but it is all about comprehensive. So in the larger metropolitan areas where people actually live, the OSM data set is perfect.
It is very good.
Near to perfect. I wouldn't say that it's topologically correct. In most of the cases that we have in our trials and conflating OpenStreetMap against cadastral sources or whatever, or parcel data, it turns out that the geometries
are not right,
and which again is a matter of fact, you can't tell an open street mapper, a single person, how to map it.
And eventually it may be getting closer over time. I mean, that's what Steve Cross was suggesting.
Absolutely. It is still debatable if getting closer means getting better or getting more coverage. On the long haul, the question is how precise, in the meaning of precision, and how geometrically correct meaning of being able to develop, to process it using algorithms, does the data need to be useful to the general public?
Right, for different kinds of uses.
Exactly. Another difference, and that strikes me most, is mass transit sort of hasn't been invented here in the US. Germany, Europe at large, it's completely normal for people to hit the bus or go by tram or go by suburban train. And therefore, navigating through that transportation systems is a natural ingredient, something that you have to do. So bring people to the parking lot from out of the car to the trains or trams or whatever, and then navigate them to their final destination.
Right, which might be multimodal, you take.
I didn't want to use that word because there's it's a very young word, multimodal.
Oh, I think it's a very important word. Let's use it more.
But then there's just another problem, as we experienced in our German data set, which is roughly about 100 million data points. Switching from pedestrian or walking conditions to mass transit is a completely different beast. It is this dynamic timetable information. You're well off if you have that. But, for example, given the situation in Germany, the Council of Mass Transportation Agencies, Germany is made out of 70-something mass transit authorities, and collectively all of them said, no, we won't submit our data to Google Transit.
We're just not going to share it.
They don't share it for whatever political or... I don't want to question that, however... that means that Google Transit won't be able to do mass transit directions in Germany. The situation could be different in Switzerland and Austria and Belgium and Luxembourg
and
France,
the United States,
whatever,
right.
United States, but for them, this is sort of a white spot. They won't get through. The way that we try to do is the best to have those dynamic transit information, but what happens if you don't? For me as a regular commuter, it's fair enough to know that the train comes on a regular schedule every 10 minutes from 7 in the morning to 7 at night, for example.
Right.
And my personal navigation style is not so precise so that I can make sure that I hit the train at 10:31 or something.
Right.
And I know if there's another train coming after 10 minutes, that's fair enough for me. So we try to get the interval and the logic that mass transport operates on, and that is fair enough. So that will be... That is absolutely sufficient to route me from point A to destination. But it turns out, again, Europe is different, it's difficult. Mass transport systems work almost the same across the globe because they're all there to fulfill the same, solve the same problem. But even getting this scheduled interval information is tricky.
Yeah, I was going to say, how would you do that? Just have somebody go ride the bus every day?
All of those mass transport authorities do have their schedule information online.
Okay.
But without ripping it, the only thing that you need to do is to understand when does it start operating and when is the last train.
And how often does it run?
And the rest is a simple mathematical operation. And we've done that for all of Germany, except the bus lines. They're more difficult. Because they change often, change their names.
And buy more of them. They change, the geography changes.
And it turns out that this is sort of a untapped reservoir of information out there.
And a very important one.
And a very important one. And it has strings and nuts and bolts attached to it. Because if you figured out how that works in Germany, you go to Austria, Switzerland, to Italy, different country, different rules, different system.
Right.
I'm talking too much about that mass transit thing, but I'm very passionate about that. Because this is the only way that you bring people from out of the cars into the mass transit. If you provide them a handsome, no fuss, straight away. So it's not done with saying that there's a parking lot, park your car there, and off you go. No, you want to know beforehand, how do I reach my target, and how tedious is it?
Right, and feel confident that you're going to be able to get there and then get back.
Exactly, exactly. And this is the point. And, this is what we are about to do. We're almost finished with that. Given the fact that Google Maps is not much older than 5 years now,
no, it's not.
Most of us forget that. Our children won't. They grew up with Google Maps. But given the fact that this is a very, very, very infant ecosystem, there's pretty many things going on. And it turns out that most of the cartographic data that you need is not online. It is not. It is neither digital nor is it accessible online.
Things like these... schedules.
Yeah, and the same is in the United States. And I think if this is an issue, it is a large issue and it's a huge problem, because most of the data that you want to process is buried in some local. And so the first thing is how to source the data. It would be a big error to commit if you take for granted that everything is searchable and everything is findable out there through the web. This is not the case. So we have like 10 professional cartographic editors that try to complete the POIs and attributes and whatever comes with the primary data sets to make sure that it works. Just to give an example, in Germany, there's like 12,000 communities, and you would guess that 12,000 or villages, what do you call them?
Yeah, cities? Town cities.
And you would guess that if there's 12,000 cities, there must be 12,000 cemeteries. Every city has its own cemetery.
Sounds like a good bet, right?
Well, if you look into the data sets from NAFTA or TNA Atlas, you wonder why there's only 600. So where's the rest of those 11,400 been? This is a problem that you need to solve, and we just did that by researching the missing 11,000 something cemeteries.
So the data was sort of out there, it just hadn't been compiled together.
No, but you take that for granted. So you don't find any given POI by searching the net. This is just not true.
And maybe the data sets aren't as complete as we assume them to be.
Or as the data vendor makes us believe they are.
Right. We assume that if they're the data vendor, they know best and they've...
But they don't. So this is not about picking on those data vendors. This is a natural fact of business, and it's a natural fact of the circumstances. So those maps from the classical data providers have been made for street traffic, for vehicle traffic.
Right.
So everything is in there that's useful for drivers. But once those navigation, orientation, and mapping things leave the car and move on to mobile devices, the car itself is not important anymore. We need different pieces of information, so like precise house numbers, precise house footprints, precise POIs, like different spellings, colloquial names, and all that.
Careful.
But if I'm walking, I probably want to know what is there. Is it a pharmacy, or is it a school, or is it a public building, the missing cemeteries, even if they're not very sexy POIs, but they are there, they are with us. So there's pretty many of that stuff that yet needs to be mapped. And, well, this is what we try to do as a company, and, well, we try to make the public authorities in the U.S. understand that the same thing could be done with the data sets that they have already, and conflating this is not a trivial task. We have solved that pretty much. Well, we've done some trials, and they were very positive in that direction.
All right, so maybe we will, in fact, have all the data that we need down the road. Great. Well, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
You have been listening to a conversation with Stefan Knecht, the CIO of United Maps. We invite your questions or comments at Directions Magazine or All Points Blog, or you can email us at editors@directionsmag.com. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.